Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is your host, Goddess Seek Wisdom. Today, we have, well, before I get started, I want to give thanks to our ancestors, the strong shoulders, the queens, and the empresses, and the goddesses, and the mothers whose shoulders I stand on today. I give reverence and I pay homage to you, and I say thank you. Your spirit truly lives on in me to do the work that I am doing and the work that these other strong sisters and mothers and goddesses are doing today. So I just want to say Ashe and my eye to you, Mama. Today we have a very, very interesting and important topic and a very important guest that we will have come on to speak today. That guest is none other than Sister Latava, author of the book titled When Waging War Against the Oppression of Black Women, Our Only Hope is to Kill God. And today we will be touching on her book, some of the information in her book, and also it's time for us as black women to take our place. Black women, take your place. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring Sister Latava on. How are you today, sister?
Oh, peace and blessings. I'm doing wonderful.
Great, great, great. Before we get started, can you, for people who have not heard of you before or may not know you and what you do, can you let us know about you, what you do, what brought you to writing this book, and, you know, just give us a little bit of info about the book and definitely how you came up with the title.
Well, I am a sister who is in charge of and responsible for a cooperative tribal living effort here in Indiana. We are a group of black families that own a small piece of land and are striving for self-sufficiency and sustainability, striving to return ourselves back to the divinity of who we ever were created to be as a people. I ended up writing this book based on some of the preventative issues that I found relative to our people and evident, particularly not just in our households and in our communities, but among women, that kept us from ever even seeking to return to any type of sufficiency, self-sufficiency. Most people love dependency. Even when we consider ourselves revolutionary sisters or revolutionary brothers, pardon me, I found that we kept encountering some things that prohibited us from truly accepting our own and being ourselves. And one of those root causes was that we had been so indoctrinated with religion and religiosity per se, and the patriarchal image of God, that our worship and our spirituality never moved beyond that. It never would spell anything material for us as a people. And the death of our women tends to be the death of our nation. And so it was vitally important for me to have a real serious conversation with black women and to hold no punches and to hold our brothers accountable, because I love my brothers enough to expect them to step up to the greatness I know they can be. And in order for us to move towards our solution, we needed to be able to truly identify some clear problems with our problems, you know, the clear root causes of our problems. So that led to my difficulty and position with organized religion led to us throwing around the saying of kill God. You know, everybody on campus, you know, my household, they would say, oh, your mama Gary, go kill God, you know, because here we are worshiping something that is less than worthy of even praise. So we kept yielding. We would find that our people were yielding to things that were not really powerful. They really did not have the authority that we were giving them. And because of that, I had to accept the reality that, yes, when it comes to waging war against the oppression of black women, that's our only hope. We have to be willing to kill God. Because if you stop and think about what will keep somebody from standing on their principle, they'll swear it's because they're so godly. They won't speak up for themselves because of God. And there are more God-fearing women standing under the boot, the thumb, the slap, the punch, the kick of a brother who says he loves her than there are anybody else on the planet.
Now,
so we had to address that.
I have a quick question. Now, in looking at your book and for the listening audience, who is God when identified, when you said, you know, there are plenty of God-fearing black women, in their eyes, who is God? And who
oh,
is
first and
to
foremost,
kill God?
First and foremost, for all black people, God is definitely the white man.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we pray to. That's who we beg to. That's who we call upon. That's who we call. And if the white man give us a welfare check, we thank God, not realizing we just thankful that white man gave us any little crumb.
Mm.
We pray that God let us go to work in the morning. Who are we talking about? God bless me with it. Everything you hear the average person talking about God bless them with is something they some kind of way trace back to that white man. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to the specified oppression of black women, the next one in line that we worship is maleness, period. We done got in line behind this white woman. She was bred to worship her man's maleness. Black women done taken on this hue of anything that we do has to be under the thumb of a brother who has not yet been prepared to lead. And it isn't because he's not worthy of our respect, and it isn't because he's not qualified. He simply has not been qualified. So who I call the task throughout this book are sisters who do not hold the requirement of qualification. We just yield everything to the fact that our men are born male. Do you understand what I mean? The fact that he's born male makes him privy to male privilege. And that's not just true of the adult males around us. It's true even of the children around us, which is why in a household there's a greater work requirement on our female children than our male children. Which is why our female children get the hell beat out of them if their grades aren't up to par, but our brothers can weasel out of it or have some other little girl do his homework.
Right.
Or he can get rewarded with a video game for bringing his F up to a D, where she's on punishment for 6 months. We breed this type of thing, and so what we start to do is we start to worship masculinity or maleness as God. And then we go into these organized religions and have someone stand in front of us, male or female, every Sunday morning over the burning pulpit and tell us in order for a woman to get her blessing, she needs to learn to get low, get low, get low. And they give you this order, a protocol. You've got God, you've got Christ, you've got the man of God, then you've got the women and the children. But she never quite shares in the privilege of the community, but yet is responsible for the community. So that's basically when we start to identify the process of killing God, we have to stop just assuming that feeding the narcissistic behavior pattern, mimicking our open enemy, that we are really building our black men. As women, as the original woman of the planet, as the mothers of civilization, we have to stop giving a false sense of accomplishment to our brothers. You know, we allow black men to walk around and, hey, what's up, God? What's up, God? Or brothers that be afforded the privy of sitting up in a cipher for 12 hours, sweating and breathing all over each other in the basement of somebody's rented house. All of them got a house full of children, a backyard, a tribe of children, but they missed two meal times and ain't even worried about how that was made to happen. World just keep going on without them. Go to jail for 15 years and we still holding it down. We go to jail for 15 months. Our children are scattered in CPS. So that type of thing is what I address in the book. And I hold our sisters and call us to task that we have to stop just worshiping maleness for the sake of it. Stop worshiping patriarchal leadership when that was, number one, never the nature and order in which we were created. That's never the nature order of anything that functions on this planet or in this universe except us trying to live backwards. Nothing in this universe functions from a patriarchal principle of living. But suddenly humanity has been convinced that that's the way we're supposed to live. We were never that way. And ever since we've tried to live like that, we have yet to find harmony. I don't believe our brothers are useless. I don't believe they have no place in our life. I think they're very valuable, and I love us very much. I think that black women have to learn to require that which we desire and stop allowing that which deteriorates us.
Indeed.
Our children are dying. We love our brothers to death. We love our brothers to death.
Sometimes we love our brothers to our death.
Oh, our death, our children's death, and that's not figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
The most dangerous place on this planet for a black woman is in her home. There are more women treated in the emergency room for injuries she sustains at the hand of her husband, boyfriend, and lover than there are car accidents, rapes, and muggings put together every single day. That's a reality. What point do we as black women say, hold up, sisters. We got to recognize that what we've been doing does not work. This is not us. And a lot of times we have sisters who say, well, we know brothers ain't really in charge. We just got to make them feel that way. That right there is a problem. We keep lying to our children and lying to our brothers and lying to ourselves and telling ourselves that this stuff is okay when it's not. It's the death of us. It's why our children no longer achieve. In this country, the rate of literacy in this country is fewer now than it was before there was any such thing as government-run public education. The percentage of citizens in this country who can literally read, relatively speaking, is less than before there was public school. Why do you think this is a system designed for your success? It is not. There's nothing wrong with the school system. It's doing exactly what it's designed to do, fail you. There's nothing wrong with this environment. It's doing exactly what it's designed to do, screw your mind over, to overstimulate you, undereducate you, create a position in your mind where you are either hostile or docile. You're going to work for them one way or another. You're either going to become docile and go to work every day and yes, master every day and yes, sir, and move to the side and keep functioning in society without making waves, or you're going to become hostile and go to jail and work for them for even less than you would if you went to a 9-to-5 job. That's what this environment is designed to do. There's more slavery today than there's ever been on the planet. Black people think they're free. Negroes think we made it.
We think because we have a job that's something different than slavery. Just think about that. We go to work to pay for things that should be free. We are paying for water.
You go to work.
Be free.
You go to work to afford yourself just enough to go back to work tomorrow.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much money you bring in. Magically, you never quite make those ends meet. It is designed that way. It is not happen chance. There's no such thing as balanced books. Black people come in contact with plenty of economic resource, but it's designed for our failure. You cannot dig your way out of a hole. At some point, you have to stop and say, hold up, this is not working. You have sisters every day, every single day. We have sisters every day, single mom. She may have 3 or 4 children. You know, her oldest child, 14, 15-year-old, she praying every day just for the Lord to send her a man to come in and be what? The head of her household. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And there's one reason. We can't figure out how it keeps failing. You take the average brother, this is not true of 100% of our brothers, but I am a firm believer in collective responsibility. The average black male out here has been ill-prepared for leadership and or adulthood. He's not been prepared to function and run his own life. Now, look at the average brother or sister's relationship. You expect a young man who barely managed having a library card. He barely managed the responsibility of a library card. It's free. He ain't handled that well, but you want him to walk in the door and manage the weight of you and 3 or 4 children, the household responsibility, and suddenly he's going to tell you, this is what you have to do, this is where we need to go, these are moves we need to make. And you wonder how come he's stressed, can't handle it, and in order for him to feel like he's making it, he got to start becoming a tyrant. And instead of him being able to step up to the challenge, what he does is require everybody in the household to dial back their requirements, to dial back their expectations. And then as women, be honest, we will tell each other, you want too much. You expect too much out of a man. We will tell each other that. We will have one generation tell a younger generation out of loneliness, And self-doubt, a piece of man is better than no man at all. Huh. Really?
Wow.
Okay, well, I'll bite. I'll take that. A piece of man is better than no man at all. So how many pieces of men do I need to make a whole? Then you don't want the sister to have 5 husbands. But she can't get but a piece of one out of any one of them? But that's the job requirement. See, we require so much more out of us as black women. Do you get what I'm saying? We expect black women to be the be-all and end-all. We work all 3 shifts. You might go to work in the day, You got to handle all the children bill issues in the afternoon, and don't let nobody have a cold and stay up all night. And if one of the children ain't sick, brother need a midnight appointment, and you still expect her to be rising shine in the morning. Oh, wait, and she got to keep her hair done, and she got to look good and have a good attitude. And she should never expect more out of her husband than he brings forth, or else she's what, nagging and complaining. And then we can really break it down for her. That's why you don't have a man. That's why it's hard. What? What? This is the BS we go for? Require nothing of him and he'll be better to you? Really? How did we get this way, black woman? Because we were raised in a household with some adult, mostly mothers, training us this way. You always want so much. You always got to have the biggest piece. You need to sit down somewhere. Quit asking for this. Don't expect, huh? How many people tell their children that? I see you. You ain't got to be seen. You don't have to have this. Be quiet. You always want something. Don't ask for nothing. Don't touch nothing. Don't this. Don't that. Don't. And then you wondering how somebody turned your daughter's head and turned her out over a sack of McDonald's. Really? You're curious? What did you do to cultivate a mindset of expectation in her? And why shouldn't I expect much? The nature in which I'm created determines that that's exactly what I should expect. That's the only natural way for us to weed out the weakness of our community. That's why we have this BS we live in right now, because we tolerate and they accept everything. See, somebody told us that we should be so pro-life that just because you got here, you should get to stay here. That's not true, because conception of its nature doesn't even work that way. See, in his lifetime, one man will pop off enough sperm through ejaculation to repopulate the entire planet Earth. Just one brother. We got 6 billion. But just give us one brother, let's say 50%, 3 billion men walking around. One of them will produce in his one lifetime enough sperm to repopulate the planet Earth? How come he doesn't? Because there's such thing as selectivity. There's a selection process. Is that correct? That sperm, just because it showed up, don't get the job, right? It goes through a rigorous obstacle course. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, so why aren't we making the men in general go through a rigorous obstacle course?
That's the point. The nature in which we create it requires much. The vaginal canal is a hostile environment. It has an attitude. And just because you made it to ovum doesn't mean tagged you're it. Of those who make it, it don't mean the first one that makes it, it's of those who make it, the best candidate is the one the ovum selects. So, black woman, woman up. You think just because I'm going to holler at you, you got to give him your number. Be selective. You got to tell a sister, damn, ain't you got no standard? Just anything goes because he will talk to you, he should. And that's where we've been reduced to. We got reduced there because someone convinced us that we wanted too much. We should not expect anything. Who was that magic someone? This mystery guy we all believe in that happens to be male. He was the great everything. We're not worthy. We're the downfall of humanity. We're the cursed Jezebel. We are, Eve was a curse. Everything about woman is a curse. The woman, I've even heard Christian theology that tells you woman is the devil's gateway to, what in the world? We live in an environment that produces hostility towards black women. Yet black women don't take the time and say, hold on, we got to revamp us. Because we can't buy into the BS also, but we do. We really do. It's not an issue over do black men just prefer white women. That's not an issue. We can't say that's just because they're easier to get along with. I know they wish that was the case, but it's not that. It isn't that. White women are marketed to black men. You look at all these movies, every little story where the brother is being mistreated, he's being unjust, there's always some white woman that's just going to manage to happen to help tip the scale his way. He's taught She's imaged in society as his great white hope. She's going to be the one to help him even the playing field. She's going to be the one to level it out. She's marketed to black men. Black men are taught and trained to have an allegiance to white men. It's marketed out here. You look at little simple situations like, remember that old movie? Well, I guess it ain't that old to some people, but that movie Blood Diamond. Even when you're in a situation where your open enemy has clearly taken everything valuable from you, you're willing to carry his injured ass over a mountain, and he was part of your problem. I will carry you. They was doing that way back when these colonialized fools was coming through charting the ways to the gold mines in Africa. We will carry you. Every little Tarzan film you saw when you was a child, what was black men doing? Carrying him.
Wow.
It's an image that is portrayed to us as a people. We are taught to idolize these Caucasians. You can have a black man standing on the head of his woman, kick her down some steps, beat her ass. One security guard come through, and suddenly he just totally reverts back to some little child. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sir. Everything's fine here. Yes, sir. What?
Now I have some questions for you, Sister LaTable. Before I get into the questions, we have, let's see, is this Pastor Flowers on the line?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I saw your hand go up a little while earlier. Before I get into the questions, I want to give you some time and space to, you know, make comments, introduce yourself, and address a question if you had a question for Sister LaTable.
Okay. Well, I don't have a question. I'm glad to hear because one of the biggest issues is to really, if you're going to correct a problem, you got to correct the right problem. And when you're focused to correct the problem that's actually not the true problem, then you really kind of cycle out because you're not really tuning in on what the real issue is. And so I'm in total agreement with her. I don't have any questions. I'm just glad to hear someone else speak truth because it is the black woman who has got to make some changes. I mean, she's got to think things through, and our men cannot be equipped to get out here and do what we're expecting them to do if we have not trained them to do that.
Right.
And that starts
right.
when they're babies.
That's right.
You know, and we have somehow been bamboozled out in the 60s and the 70s. You know, they gave the black woman the opportunity to get educated. Now, it appeared as though that education was out there for the black man, but in retrospect, the environment was truly hostile for him. As
right.
we know, most black men do not complete upper education,
mm-hmm.
and the black woman is. So here she is basically fronting. I mean, she's always been that leader and provider of her family. But the one thing that we've stopped doing that I can see is that we have stopped making our black men accountable. Because when my mom raised me and my brother, there was no distinction in gender.
Exactly.
You see, he was required to do everything I was required to do, and
mm-hmm.
vice versa. But somehow in the 60s, there became a true change. In the way that we started in the 60s are imperative because that is the first time in this so-called enslavement in America that we as a people really in great numbers begin to come together. That's very
right.
important to
right.
remember that because there had to be, you know, we like to say, the Willie Lynch letter is like an urban legend. But, you see, even though it might be, you have to look at things and look at it and pick the truth. See, there's always truth
right.
in everything, even in a lie. And you have
that's
to
right.
do what you call pattern work. You have to compare the patterns Because, see, women do in whole. We look at things holistically in a whole. And when you put this pattern together, you'll begin to see, well, something can't quite be what it is, you know, because we say, well, the white man, he's in charge of everything. But the issue is, if we being the original people of the earth and we're on all of the land masses, how does 100% to possibly something under 10% of the population of the earth control the rest of the earth? Is that a real, true synopsis of what you're really looking at? Or when you have a lot of propaganda that's trying to lead your mind to think that, and that's what's really going on, but it's not really the truth. It's an illusion. Because the real issue is we are just letting our black boys grow up like weeds. And we haven't given them anything, because the mothers have been really struggling to take care of her families. And we have a tendency to lean toward, you know, our daughters. I mean, we train our daughters, you know. We just do, because, I mean, she's just like us. So we train our daughters, and somehow we've been suckered out to believe that we can't train our sons.
That's right.
But, I mean, we were told in the 60s and shortly into the 70s, hey, don't whoop your boys, or don't do this, or it's child abuse, you know. And so we bought into that. Well, as we begin to buy into these different things that were put out there for us, we slowly, and it was really slow and methodical that they did this, because now 48 to 50 years later, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to actually address our children, especially our teen children. And I remember me coming up, parents back in the day, just because you was 18 didn't mean nothing. But
that's
somehow
right.
We have become afraid of our adolescents. And so in return, they're beating our butts. But it was done in a methodical way. Each generation gave up some rights.
Yes, ma'am.
That they should have I mean, how could you possibly give up your rights? How is it that you had a child and then somehow you let the state believe, or whoever in charge of stuff, believe that they can tell you how to raise that child? But you, on the real side, had to take care of everything for that child to even live, to be here.
Right.
I mean, how you give somebody that responsibility? And so we gave away some responsibilities that were really ours. And in return, they gave us material things that were less important than the very value thing, which was the child. You know, I tell people, don't throw the baby out with the dirty water. Don't throw the baby out with the wash. Keep the value thing, which is the baby, and throw the dirty water out. Because, like I said before, there's never a whole lie. It's a half a lie. You just got to clean that up. Then you got to ask, well, why would they go through the problem of even making it a lie? You got to just sit and think. And we used to have what my mother called common sense. Somehow that done slipped away, too.
It's common.
Go ahead, Sister LaTava.
I was going to say I agree wholeheartedly. This systematic way of our oppression requires a systematic response. And the some kind of way, when we talk about being in the 60s and being told that a woman couldn't raise a boy into a man, we find that our male children generally are not a problem until they do get into the brotherhood. They generally aren't uncontrollable. Until we buy into the idea that it is not us who make any of them men. But what happens is our young male children either are exposed to, or we allow other adult males to attempt to tell them how to get over on and get by or deal with a female. It ill impacts every component and every layer of our social life. It is everything that makes us, I think it's unladylike to have open, honest conversations with our daughters about sex and sexuality. And then on the other end, allow our sons to be totally lied to about sex. Because every grown woman has been with a brother who thought he was hitting it out of the park. Where do you think he learned that at? And you left the situation wondering, what? What? Because some brother done lied to him and told him, dog, what you got to do? What? Who told you that was fancy? That is not fancy. But this is the type of thing that gets passed on from one to another when we, mother, does not take our rightful position, which is why there is no discretion from mother. That's why your mother can say, child, I've seen you everything, inside and out. I know all about you. Because there isn't something, a component of who you are that mother's not supposed to know or mother's not supposed to be able to guide you on. But when we start stepping back, and that's the dilemma as women, when we step back to the point trying to appease something that is underdeveloped in our community, it is us giving up the household to a child. And then we as a people give up the household to a child because we yield to the youngest people on the planet. That's like having two-year-olds decide they run the household. They decide what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, when we're going to give up this, da-da-da-da-da. But they could not have done this without the conspiracy of the adults. If I visit your home and I recognize that your four-year-old runs everything, the four-year-old didn't come in and strong-arm that position. You yield that position to the four-year-old.
Correct.
You're not going to show me a 14-year-old that was not a problem at four if that 14-year-old is now a problem today.
Correct.
So we had a problem earlier on than right now. We do have a just a pandemic issue today, but it started out problematic yesterday. And we all have to accept the responsibility of correcting it. When Sister talked about the education that was offered to black women, the same thing played out in the 60s, plays out in the millennium of now, that played out long before we encountered the colonialized environment of Caucasians or Arabs. When our men, when their insecurities were played up and they were led to believe and allowed to function as if an educated woman is his enemy. When right now today a brother's insecurities lead him to believe that if a woman makes her own money or has her own this, she no longer needs him. Or some kind of way, it's the thing that makes women, black women who are well-educated, sit up and say they can't find a man because she's not attractive to him. That he needs to feel like she's less than him in order to feel like he's a whole man. See, we allowed this to occur, but more significantly, our brothers went for that okey-doke. What did that replicate? Sister talked about the pattern. Well, let's look at the pathology. That ain't the first time he fell for the okey-doke. That he honestly was allowed himself to believe that his woman is his enemy, even though she's the only one that's been right there with him all along. Because, see, every black woman makes his world happen, whatever shoes she's wearing. We talk about the devil wears Prada, but the goddess is wearing combat boots. What do you have on your mind? You know, I mean, I have to be able to be woman enough to where when I see my sisters out in public, they say, Sister Latavia, you looking this or you looking that? Sister, I'm looking that when I'm in my boots. And I mean, literally, I'm wearing boots. I put on the boots because I pick up the hammer because I make life happen. I'm not unrealistic about who makes my world happen. Black women are not afforded the luxury of white women. You can't sit up and cry, take sick to bed. Are you out of your mind? That is a luxury afforded white women only. Every one of us get up and make her world happen. That's why the black woman has an attitude, because we are sleep deprived from making everybody's world happen. What we really need is a nap. Let's start right there. When my daughters went through rites of passage, one of them says, really, I'm just tired. When she came up for examination, she got a whole weekend, barely getting any sleep. I just need some sleep. Now you see what's wrong with all the sisters around you who are accomplishing anything. We are sleep deprived. That's why we don't have time to play with you. That's why we don't think all that little stuff you're doing is cute or funny. Say farewell to childhood, a time when you can sit up and laugh and play and joke. Black women got stuff to do. We got a world to run. We ain't got time to be playing with you. Why you always got an attitude? Why you don't hardly smile? Do you know what it's going to take to make me smile? Provisions for tomorrow.
Whoa, whoa.
You want to see me smile? Make me not have to worry about how these children going to eat tonight. I will smile. You're going to need something more than a joke because my life ain't funny. So we have to be able to own that and not feel shamed by that. And we have to know what was the pathology of our problem, the insecurity of our brothers. This has gone back throughout the recorded destination of our times. We're the first people on the planet. We was having problems before we encountered this white man.
Correct.
That's why we still have problems with this brother now, because we ain't corrected that problem. Because, see, when I fix the problem between me and my dude, then we don't have the problems in the household. It's people all over this campus all the time. Ain't no problem up in here. People come from all walks of life up in here all the time. You know why it's not going to be a problem in here? When my household is in harmony, when we all is thinking on the same page.
That's correct.
The only time it's going to be a problem on this campus is when we allow my internal circle to be dysfunctional, and I try to build something from there outward. What? That doesn't work. That does not work. You have to have balance. We have to have balance. We have to have expectations and realistic balance. We bought into something that was never, ever us, and that's what I address in my book. It is what I address when I do lectures. It is what I address anytime we do interviews. I'm woman enough to own every word that comes out of my mouth. Because I can prove it, and you can't dispute it with anything but your emotion when you try to say that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
When we try to blame the white man for the condition of our black men, we can only hold them accountable for them for black men not having a degree.
Mm.
That's it. I can say a white man can keep a black man from getting a degree, but guess what I can also say? But a white man cannot keep a black man from being well-educated.
That's true.
I've homeschooled all of my children. They are very well educated. I've homeschooled every one of them. The most they've learned has come at my dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
No one can keep you from being educated.
That's right.
You can choose. It is not relevant to your life. You know why a black man can afford to not be well educated? Because it's not a requirement in order for him to eat.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
A black woman can't afford to not know the world around her. She gets educated real quick. It's plenty of sisters without degrees running doctor's office. Believe that. It's
yes.
plenty of sisters that don't have a formal education running your legislation. Believe that. Oh,
that's
you who
sure.
believed in the change of Obama, rest assured, every white man that pulls his strings got a black woman pulling his. Making plenty of decisions that affect our day-to-day life. Sisters, you all of us know our mothers and grandmothers weren't the most educated women. They weren't the best educated when it came to schooling, but they knew how to make something out of nothing, didn't they?
They definitely knew that.
They knew how to make something happen. And a whole lot of times, when you hear little sayings about mama's babies, papa's babies, how you think we came through that? How do you figure that is? How do you think black men ate? How do you think they still eat today? How do you eat
Amen.
Without education? How do you eat? You live in a number-coded, color-coded world. How do you order a number 7 blue?
Sister
it's
Latava,
not a requirement. Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask you if you could speak on Thomas Sankara. I'm probably mispronouncing his name.
Yes.
But could you give us a little information about him and, you know, what he stood for?
Thomas Sankara was assassinated, and one of the things I was saddened. You have to understand, when I first started reading anything about this brother or from this brother, I immediately started talking to my husband, said, oh, we got to find him. And to be honest, because this is the conversation I had with my husband, if I could have found that brother, Thomas Sankara was the, at one time, he was president of what is known as Burkina Faso. He was assassinated primarily due to his position on what it was going to take to ensure the liberation of African people, particularly his people. And his position was always that there can be no true liberation of African people without the liberation of African women.
Mm-hmm.
And that no matter what condition, no matter how low an African man may have been, he kept his woman lower than him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth anyone's time to look him up and to read some of the things about him. And one of the speeches that I mentioned in the foreword or introduction of my book, is that he wrote a speech called The Revolution Cannot Triumph Without the Emancipation of Women.
Mm-hmm.
He was killed not long after delivering that speech. It's a speech, I think it's about 24 pages long. It's worth reading over and over again. It was required reading for my daughters, all of them. I have six daughters. I required each of them to read it thoroughly, and, of course, we discussed it. But it's definitely worth the read, and he's a brother worth looking up because he understood that it was the women who were able to not only carry us as a nation, but it was because we were being held in a certain position when it came to the revolution of our people that that's why we never could quite get free, because our men who stood on the battlefield always had one hand on the trigger and the other hand on his sister's neck, basically,
mm-hmm.
instead of having both hands
wow.
in the fight. Instead of having both hands in the fight, he's fighting his open enemy only partially, only half-heartedly, because he's trying to hold on to and struggle to maintain this position of superiority over his woman, who is not his enemy. And to this day, it's just true that it doesn't take much for a black man to view a black woman as his enemy. In fact, one of the recent interviews I did on another Blog Talk radio show, as gently as I don't typically speak like this. I'm only speaking this aggressively because I'm feeling like this is a kind of more of a sisterhood meeting. I know we got brothers with us, but this is primarily a sisters forum, correct?
Yes, yes it is.
But most sisters who know me know that when I'm in mixed company, I try to speak very gingerly. I try to be as specifically gentle as I can because I know how fragile our brothers can be. And I'm telling you, one of the recent interviews I did on a Blog Talk radio show, just because I was telling the brother he was interrupted unnecessarily or he was being rude or out of order for doing so, and I said it as gently as I could, one of the first things out of his conscious mouth that fell out of his conscious, well-read face was, "That's why the black women don't get no respect now. Don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect me." And, I mean, he jumped and hooped and hollered. You'd have thought I talked about his mom.
But you know what the biggest problem is right there? Some men, not all, but some men don't understand by not giving the black woman, who is the creator of everything, by not giving us our proper respect and letting us be who we innately and naturally are, they are disrespecting themselves. Because once
of
you
course.
Turn your back on your mother, you've lost it.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You have
absolutely.
Completely lost
we all know that. We know that, and we don't force our brother's hands to admit and be honest to himself. Be
Correct.
Honest with himself. Because all it really takes, it really don't take us stand up debating our brothers. All
right.
it really takes is for me to let him honestly believe this white man is any way his friend or that he ever plays fair. I don't have to do anything to black men. All I have to do is leave him alone, let him keep thinking he can play this white man game. That white man going to put his ass in a cell real deep. And he's going to call Jesus and mama so fast because he knows that's the only true salvation he got. The very brothers he get locked up with ain't going to be it. His daddy ain't going to be it. As a matter of fact, it don't take that. It don't let him get cut too deep. Think he's going to need stitches too tough. Oh, he hardcore by the time his buddy seen. He hardcore by the time his friends and his partner seen. But laying up in the hospital when he crying,
mama.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm very clear. I love it when I see these young bloods. Oh, I love it when they got 14 children with all names, some variation of his name. I think that's so cute because I'm a sister that got 8 children, and I'm always taking the position, brother, you name what you push out. I know what 8 pounds, 10 ounces feel like. Playing. My name is Ricky. I want all my children to be named Rick. Bro, all you got to do is push any one of them here, and I'm with it. I'm with it. I say go for it. I think you should name them all Rick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. I say go for it. Go for it. But we don't require this. It's the simplest of stuff. We don't even require it. We like to think, I'll give you a perfect example. We like to think that because a brother does anything for us, we should appreciate it. whatever he does, we should appreciate it. Now, I'm a person who sincerely appreciates effort, but I also believe that I should not
genuine effort.
Genuine effort, but I shouldn't set you up for failure.
Correct.
If a brother thinks he's trying to turn my head, if a brother thinks he's trying to step to sister's table, and somebody done told him this is the way you treat a lady. Now, do I want to be treated with respect? Absolutely. Now, am I going to appreciate him bringing me flowers? More than likely. But what he'll come to know real fast is, brother, if you could have bought me a horse load of truckload of horse manure, oh, dude, because I'm a practical person. I live in an environment, in my world, flowers have minimal use. Can
we
eat them?
You know something?
I'm just saying, for me as a sister, if I lived in a two-bedroom apartment and maybe didn't have ambitions beyond next week, those flowers might do lovely because they'll decorate the den very nicely. But I'm a woman who lives in this environment. I got to feed these children not just next week but next month, and I need to know if there ain't no seeds to it, does it fertilize this land? Because that's what I live off of. But that's my requirement. We as black women got to deal with this.
Right.
We have to deal with this. We don't seem to recognize.
We have to learn to expect more from our men because they won't step up to be what their true potential are until we as women learn to expect more and to require more. We have to require more. If we don't ask for it and we don't demand it, then it's not gonna be there.
But there's not one answer. That's what us as sisters, we have to learn.
Right.
Mr. Right Now is never going to become Mr. Right until you require what you desire. And there's nothing about any of our brothers' rearing that gives them a point of reference for what the right answer is, because what's right for you is different than what was right for his last Miss Thing. Miss Thing used to giggle when he brought this same thing. You don't think it's cute at all. Why? Because you didn't give him the right answer. You keep waiting for him to figure out. And most sisters, be honest, most sisters are sitting up waiting on a brother to figure out what she likes. What's going
to
make him know that? You in his 94th relationship.
You got to tell him.
And the other 93 like something different. Now you want him to go through 93 data format. What? He don't remember the last three things he bought at the store. He's not sure if his credit card statement is right. Why do you expect that? That's unrealistic. But the only way you can require what you desire is if you truly know what you desire.
Correct.
Not what your girlfriends tell you you should have or what any good woman should be or what this is. What do you need? What's applicable to your life? Where do you want to go? Until I as a woman know where I mean to go, assess where I am, what is it going to take for me to get from here to there, I don't even know if he's appropriate, if he's a good fit for my life. All you got to do is ask the average sister, what are her qualifiers? What made him your dude? What made you pick him?
True.
What was his qualification that made him appropriate for your life? Why is it you're trying to go in this direction, but he's trying to go in that direction, and you complaining that he's trying to piss on your dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all discuss this, or was he just attractive? Because there are some fine black men out here. They're beautiful. Whoa! What?
They real, real beautiful. I mean,
brothers don't think that we stop and think. Now, this one here is show-stopping, bless his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. But if he's not applicable to my life, he is nothing but an added meal and more laundry.
He another child.
Right.
That's
he's
somebody else
child.
Gonna take up. He's going to take up more time in the shower. He's going to do all this and that.
He's even worse than the child because he won't obey.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why do black women have the right to be angry? And after we touch on that, I have a follow-up question, because then we have to address how do we utilize this anger to heal and unify our sisters for our people and our children.
Black women have the right to be angry because anger is a more than appropriate response to the calculated death of her nation and her family.
Yes.
Black women have the right to be angry because anger is a more than appropriate response to the calculated, that means premeditated, death of her nation and her family. Any response less than anger to someone showing you that they are intentionally killing your child is inappropriate. If you're anything less than angry,
just
you are standing in the wrong position.
Correct.
If you're anything less than angry about watching your people die, the fact that black women die at a greater rate from breast cancer than white women.
That's correct.
Why? The medicine ain't different, is it?
You
should be angry. The fact that more of your nation-building age men are incarcerated than their nation-building age men, you should be angry. The fact that more of your children get left behind than their children should make you angry. It is not a matter of how you feel. It is a matter of what you do about how you feel.
Amen.
You're supposed to be angry. But the beautiful thing about it is, when your enemy has done something that you should be angry about, he doesn't fear the fact that you're angry. He doesn't fear the fact that you are emotional. He doesn't fear that you cry or that you are irate.
Teach this.
When you're looking at either fight, it don't matter what the nature of it is. All you got to do is look at two people in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see one of them selling a whole lot of wolf tickets and the other one is just cool, calm, and collected, you and I both know who got the upper hand. Because the one that's cool, something, the one that's screaming don't know. So you might have one person over here doing all this screaming, irate behavior, but the one that's cool know that, hey, you just run over here. That's all it's going to take. It ain't nothing left to be said. When you know who you are, black woman, when you know just how much power you do have, black woman, you don't have to act emotional. All you got to do is do you. Be true to who you are. All you have to do is maintain your standard. All you have to do is let a brother know, oh, I'm sure that does work somewhere. It just doesn't work here. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there is some place that thinks that you should have whatever you want because you smiled. That's nice. It'll take a little bit more than that right here.
Mm-hmm.
Around
okay
here, if you don't work, you don't eat. I have two sons. All it took was either one of them. Both of them have missed one meal in this house because they understand now that mommy doesn't say that as a figure of speech. You don't work, you don't eat.
That's real.
All it takes is, oh, you don't want to do your work? Hey, brother, that's not a problem. Well, where are you going? You said dinner's done. It is. Well, I'm going here to get ready for dinner. There's not a plate here for you.
Mm.
I don't know where you're going to eat. I'm assuming you're going to eat at the house that you worked at because you didn't work here.
Correct.
Just the fact that you showed up here does not guarantee you a meal, sweetie. I loved you enough to send for you, but just because you arrived here doesn't mean you get to stay here. You need to qualify yourself.
All day long.
There's a requirement on me to justify my position. Therefore, there's a requirement on you to justify your position. You know why I get to be the mama? Because I earn that every day. Every day I do something to make your world happen.
That's right.
So what did you do to justify being here? And the moment you no longer want to do that, guess what? This is not the retirement home, sweetie. You will look for green pastures elsewhere.
That's correct.
Why should I be any different than every other creature from Great Mother on this planet? And then somebody tell me, well, we're people. We shouldn't require that. Wait a minute. The termite requires that you bring food, but I shouldn't. A rat requires this of her mate, but I shouldn't. Birds, bats, bees, roaches, everything requires their male counterpart to produce.
Correct.
But if I require that of you, I'm a prostitute? I'm
hell
sorry.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Even a prostitute get her money up front?
But
I can't even get mine on the back end. I can't even get a little gas money at the end of the week. The only way I can prove my love to you is by requiring nothing of you. Make sense to me. The way I'm your goddess is if I don't want anything, I'm willing to live in a house with no heat.
Whew.
Now, you don't want me to touch on that, but how many revolutionary-minded black women are living in a house with a dirt floor because that's the way our ancestors? What the hell? I come from a long line of strong women who did whatever they had to do with what they got.
That's right.
Why should I require anything? If a brother step up in here talking about God, who? He want to be Simba. He want to be every great supreme God. Blah, blah, beat your chest. But you can't produce heat for for my indoor living space?
Whoa.
You want me to believe you hung a sun in the sky, but I am expecting too much of you to put heat in a house.
Whoa.
Wrong answer.
Woo-hoo.
You want me to believe you heavy because you put 42 videos on YouTube last month. I can sit up and this is my view of when I see brothers and they YouTube videos, and I don't see all of them, and I'm not judging any of them. But when I see a brother got 42 new videos this month, they all an hour long and all this crap, 10 parts, so forth and so on, my mind always goes to, who's building your world while you doing that? Who is feeding your children while you sitting here screaming and yelling into the dang on camera? Hmm. And how many takes did it take to get this one? I don't have YouTube videos, not because I don't think I'm smart or because I don't think it's a useful vehicle. I really do. I have a lot of appreciation. I understand the media outlets. But unfortunately, I don't have the time to figure out how to make that proficient in my life. So I don't not have respect for it happening. I just wonder what black man with seven children has time
to make
to
all
do
the
that. And why ain't he married to a real black woman?
Woo!
I don't mean a 100% authentic ethnicity. I mean a sister that would come in on the backstage of that video saying, I know you not taping that again. Did you not hear me say, we out of milk?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, why ain't he married? Did you ever notice that so-called conscious brothers, all you have to do is poll 100 of them and 80% of them married to women who ain't read half the books they done read? Why? Why is it beneficial for a conscious brother to have an ignorant woman so he can sit up and tell her how she ought to be, so he can train her how she should be toward him? And why is it he don't like for his woman to be around other real revolutionary black women?
Woo! Woo! Teach that one.
Oh,
teach that
why
one.
Is it? Cause I'm a sister. I'm a real sister.
Excuse me. Rewind. Go back and say that again. Rewind that.
That's a real question. Why is
rewind
it a revolutionary me who think they conscious, well-read, heavy hitters? They think they the leaders and the now generation truth God killers of the world. Why is it they don't like that they women to be in company of other revolutionary black women?
Did you just say?
Now, can I answer that?
Please answer that.
Well, first of all, we got to get to some things and understand that, you know, we playing a game of good cop, bad cop. The good cop is at this present time the white person. The bad cop is the black person, the black man. And we're talking men directly, because the truth of it is, whether we want to understand this or not, the black man and the white man are really friends.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, you know what? Before you even get any further, that was my next question, because these are two elders on the line, and these
yes,
are two elders that I love and that I look up to and that are very vital to our community. Let me address
yes,
this question, because it's going to go right into what you were about to say. What happened to our villages and our communities that left our people vulnerable prior to the transatlantic slave trade? Can we touch on that for a brief moment, or for however
yes,
long of a moment we need to? Because our community needs to discuss that, and we need to talk about that and leave the emotions out of it.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Well, for one thing, I think we need to start asking why the hell we made a white person, because we sure not made them.
Yes,
see,
ma'am.
We ask too many other stuff, and we talk about a lot of things, but we don't really touch on the real thing. Why did we make them? And when you look at why you made them and look at where you are today, you'll understand it. It's really not hard to see through, but you got to get – see, black people are prejudiced too, and we have got to get through – our preconceived ideals of what it is, because it's really like when you're telling a story, you want them to, you have to say things or do things in it or make it appear that this person will follow you through the story. Like we're talking, everybody's listening and they're following our words. So you have to say things to keep people's attention because they got about 2 seconds of attention span, you know,
right.
Really, even adults right now. And
yes,
so the thing here is that, you know, the black man made that white man actually to go against the black woman. And
mm-hmm.
so when you really answer that question and people will say, oh, no, no, no. But you got to come up with, you know, I done heard over the internet lots of ideals and books and things about, you know, the white man and how he's doing all this horrible stuff to the black race, the black man especially. But the real conduit, as she was saying, you know, while you doing all these videos, I'm taking care of all these 10 kids here by myself,
right.
And you too. And you're not helping me, and then you want to know why I'm angry. Because you're using to spend yourself, your time on things that really aren't relevant to building a family, which builds a nation.
Right.
And so you got these, you know, we got all these different pathways, and we got 50 million different dogmas out here and philosophies
right.
of what it is. But the truth of it is the black man made that white person to go against the black woman, to take
that's
the
right.
land for her. That's why
right.
she's in the position that she's in, and that's why she's basically
wow.
reacting the way
that's
she's
right.
reacting, because the only
wow.
way you would be where you are today is her. But
right.
you were trying to eliminate her to put her under your foot. And when you did that, you did not understand. First of all, you forgot where you came from, not realizing if you destroy her, you destroy you. And everything
mm.
else comes tumbling down because mm. she is the first and the last.
That's right.
The beginning and the end. And when you tumble her down, everything falls down, even the white man. And that's exactly what's going on right now.
That, is why, the white man keeps the black woman with him, because he knows who we are.
He is
he
the only
genuinely
one.
Genuinely who we are.
In the literature, in the books that we're now so-called reading, he is the only one that secretly, like the Pope, still bows down
yes,
to the black
that's right.
Madonna.
That's right.
Because, see,
yes,
they
ma'am.
Know and understand the truth. What they're doing right now, the white man is playing topsy-turvy. Now,
yes,
he
ma'am.
Made his allegiance with the with his fathers, the black people, because they are his fathers.
Because mm-hmm.
throughout history, I don't care what, because I keep on reading history, and I'm saying, well, this happened. Why didn't we just destroy them now? Why didn't we go in and give them our genetics
mm-hmm.
to further keep hindering us today? You know, and
yes.
people don't understand this stuff. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Cloning, the technology that we have now is baby steps from what Mother
yes,
gave.
That's right. Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
The whole ideal of cooperation or corporations come from the black woman. She was the multi-intelligent being
yes, ma'am.
That basically brought everything together in every race. I don't care if it's the Germans, and the Germans are a very important thing because that probably was his first creation.
Now, Sister Lateva, let me
yes,
hear your opinion on that question. What happened to our villages and our communities that left our people vulnerable? And go ahead.
Our brothers became envious of the
what happened
divinity.
To our matriarchal. What happened to our matriarchal societies?
Our brothers sought. They sought to overthrow that.
That's correct.
Our women who sat in the matriarchal societies. And we did understand it did become a fault in allowing our male children to grow up and allow this to be fostered in them, this spirit of envy and jealousy to
mm-hmm.
be fostered in them. And they did turn on their own mothers, on
that's
the women
correct.
Of their communities. It was not just that our women yield to them. That was a hostility.
Yes.
It's easy to read the pathology of the evolution of the humanity,
mm-hmm.
humans as we know it today, and believe that some kind of way the woman just laid down or rolled over. But the reality of it is, amongst our own people, long before we encountered outsiders,
correct.
Long before we encountered outsiders, we were undergoing a hostile environment.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a hostile battle with our men. We really were being slaughtered. We were literally being killed. And there's nothing more dangerous than an emotionally driven black man. There's nothing more dangerous than that, and that's what we encounter. It is why Napoleon was able to, and this is, Mother said, even a lie is steeped in some truth. Didn't you say that? And that's true. So when Napoleon said, hey, we didn't blow the nose off of that sphinx. She was already disfigured by our men.
Wait a minute. I can't even let that one get by me without
that's right.
discussing that.
The
Let's
great
go back
sphinx
to the sphinx.
Is female. The great sphinx is
Indeed.
Female.
Always
Indeed.
Had been.
And before Napoleon's scavengers showed up, and the proof of that, the proof that she was disfigured before Napoleon showed up is before Napoleon even existed. The archaeological evidence is that the damage and the water levels on her figure placed the damage long before he even was born. He
Correct.
Could not have possibly destroyed her face.
Correct.
He could not have possibly been on the scene of the crime. So we got to say, well, then if it was not this suspect right here, who is guilty of something, if he's not the suspect, if his evidence ain't there, who was on the scene at this time frame when the damage occurred? It's going to always lead back to our man. We don't want to admit as African women, as the original mothers on the planet, we don't like to admit that somebody in the house committed the crime.
Correct.
We don't want to believe. We don't want to believe it because we don't want to believe that type of betrayal would truly exist among us. Why would you hate your woman like that? But I'm going to tell you, envy and jealousy, insecurity, those are some powerful, powerful things.
And the most thing that he was jealous of was her womb.
And her life-giving abilities. Even today, Mother, you are teaching right there. Because even today in 2009, all it takes, really, if you could poll black women who have given birth and breastfed a baby, how many of them would tell you that even that act, that simple, precious act, can make a conscious man jealous? Doesn't that sound petty? Doesn't that sound unreasonable? Doesn't that sound unrealistic? Ask them. Ask the women you know who have had babies, breastfed them, who consider themselves doing a wholesome, healthy. Ask them. Not when the child is 6 weeks old, 8 weeks old. Try 8 months old, 10 months old, 12 months old, something well within the reason of nursing.
Mm-hmm.
But ask them how many of them started seeing signs of jealousy in their partner got to be walking around.
How about 1 week old?
You get what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's honest.
And
we're talking
real.
About a helpless child. And that's a real situation. But a lot of times we as black women, we don't really want to look at the fact. Mother is telling us true. Look back at who we are.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I read one of the essays that we're studying around here out of an old Spear and Shield publication
mm-hmm.
was about the origin and nature of women's oppression. So this is
mm-hmm.
something we're reading around here right now. And it's just a beautiful thing. I'm going to try and find it for you real quick. It's a beautiful thing to see when we have brothers and sisters be honest about who we are, when we talk about the first families. And by that I mean the oldest human remains we can find.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest human remains, not just to verify that they are us. We're not unrealistic about that. We're not ignorant to the fact that it's us. We're not unrealistic about that. It's just important to understand, and when we're able to look at the first families were considered, first family groups were considered mothers, children, and grandmothers. And I apologize. I'm really looking for this. But to understand why that was the case and how we came to the place where we decided to build what's called in human behavior science pair bonding, or deciding that women would remain with males as well, was form following function. Does this make sense what I'm saying?
Oh,
how
yeah.
Was he able
to me,
to
it
function?
Do.
How did he function, and how did we decide that he was now worthy of being among us on a permanent basis? Because obviously if there were children, we had interactions and relations with our men. But what made him earn the right to remain a permanent part of our family structures? Is when he was able to function within our family structures according to his ability to be responsible, to protect, and to share. In my book, what do I say? The two primary signs or characteristics of patriarchal leadership is what? Greed
mm-hmm.
and selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
I write that in my book. So the way we had to understand, I'm going to read this. I'm sorry, I did find it. The way we have to understand, though, is that we have to be more selective as knowledgeable women. Those of us who do now have a knowledge of self. And in this, it reads about the first social units, the first families, were composed of mothers, their children, and perhaps grandmothers. That pair bonding came later, after a long period in which, and please, I'm quoting, but I agree, after a long period in which females, in effect, tamed aggressive and socially disruptive males. They did this by preferring to mate only with those who are socially cooperative, willing to share, and be protective. The translation of that. Only give the cookie coupons to the brothers who show and prove.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have a lot of aggressive and socially disruptive males.
That's right.
It is not that we don't want our brothers to be warriors, because we do. It is not that we don't want our brothers to be capable of taking a life, because we do. We just want them to stop being so recklessly destructive. Usually their aggression plays out in the household. Their aggression plays out in the neighborhood. But we have to do our part. Quit rewarding illicit behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Children kick and scream and fall out on the floor when they know it's effective. It's what gets them what they want. So what do you give any advice to a young mother who says, I don't know what to do with him? Stop rewarding him for bad behavior.
That's correct.
That kicking and screaming he does, quit giving him the cookie every time he hollers.
That's right.
So then what do we turn around? Why do you think young women do that? Because they see grown women running around here every time her husband got a bad attitude. You're going to go give him a shot. You don't feel like he accomplished anything, so you won't give him another shot.
All right, so what and how did the envy start? And for the future of our community, what do we do about the envy?
We channel our requirements. We need to address our requirements. We need to go to basic principle. The same way we rear our children, when you see what makes a well-reared child, a sister with a house full of children that are well-balanced, a sister with a house full of children that are in order and disciplined and well-behaved, we have to go back to being the mothers of our community, not just the mothers of our children. We have to go back to being the mothers of our community, the mothers of our nation. We have to stop leading our men to believe that, as the mother said, when you turn 18, you can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not true.
That's right.
I long past 18. I can't do whatever I want to do. I have to be mindful of the repercussions. We have to teach our children humanity. We have to teach them that. We have to teach them that their actions impact their team. Their actions impact their family. That they're not just doing what they want to do. They're not just getting their way. They're impacting their entire family. But if we don't teach those around us, that's our men and our children.
Right.
I'm sorry, sisters, you're on double duty now. We got a problem. You ain't afforded the luxury of only teaching your children. We have to teach our men and our children. We have to teach them the true principles of love. Love is not a noun. It is a verb.
That's right.
We have to require
action.
What we desire. We have to require.
It's not
we
a
have
thing.
To,
it is the action.
We as black women who do know have to form and forge sisterhoods, queendom, alliances.
Yes.
Correct.
We
yes.
have to stop feeling like we're territorial. We can't afford territories.
Right.
And
we have to, yes, ma'am.
And these brothers, you know, who are up here, I mean, really, the sisters got to do what they got to do because, see, the brothers are not holistically going to listen to us right now.
That's right.
So it's not about the brothers. It's not about you
That's
wanting
right.
him to be in agreement with him. This is such an important endeavor that the sisters are going to have to step out.
That's right.
And basically just let him go on and do what he's always been doing. But the
mm-hmm.
one thing the sisters have got to do is stop this infighting.
Yes,
right. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Because, see, this is the very division within us. I mean, we have to address our own issues.
Yes, ma'am.
That's going on. You know, the wife and the whore is the same in a man's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He made the wife and he made the whore.
That's right.
See? And we have got to understand that this divide and conquer, this is real. This is how everything has been conquered. Division, quantum physics.
Yes, ma'am.
You
yes,
see,
ma'am.
We have got to really begin to say, you know, you look at the sister, you know, if we want to talk polygamy and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I got my views on that. But the thing here is, if this brother can't take care of one woman and one child, how the hell he going to know 50 women and 100 children? And how is he going to be in there to be a father to them all? And a husband, because you can't make me wait every year to have some.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be waiting.
It's what we as sisters,
see,
when
we
I
gotta,
say we have to.
We truly have got to. You have a book. I'm so glad because I'm not a book writer. But the spirit is true. And the spirit, you're going to hear more and more sisters from all walks of life, especially now.
Yes, ma'am.
Wake up and use her
right.
talents, but
that's
the thing what you're going to hear is they're going to be saying the same damn
yes,
thing.
That's right.
You know,
ma'am.
Because if we don't, and we are in, and she said this before, we are at a critical point, a very critical
mm-hmm.
point right now. This ain't no play game. This is serious. You know, when you start talking to people all around, we got so much craziness going on within our families that we can't have cooperation. Nobody's
right.
cooperating. The woman is trying to do everything she can to please this man. And even
mm-hmm.
when she flips, flop and do all this. She stand on her head. She give it to him in the back. She give
mm-hmm.
it out. She done gave it. She done everything. But something still is not enough for him.
Right.
I mean,
and that
bottom,
means he don't love you.
The bottom line is our sisters need to understand our brothers have a choice, which is to stand up with us or die with the enemy, as
That's
I heard
right.
Mr. LaTava say before.
Right.
And we will not wait for you to answer which of those you're going to do. We will
mm-hmm.
proceed with or without you if need be.
And we will make it.
Exactly. And with that being said, we have a brother on the line that I want to allow him time to voice what he wants to say. And I think we will be very pleased with the comments that he wants to make. Area code 937, could you state your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is D.A. Williams. I'm actually calling from Dayton, Ohio. And first of all, I definitely want to commend all of you sisters. I came into the show a little earlier and was listening, and I was kind of like, oh, I think this is, you know, I think this is a show geared toward, you know, female perspective. But I decided to, you know, to just listen for a while. And I have to say, I don't consider myself to be one of the quote-unquote consciousness brothers, but I am conscious, and I cannot truthfully sit here and disagree with anything that I have heard coming out of any of you all. I think your assessment of the black man is absolutely 100% correct, up to and including the statements that were made about the consciousness brothers wanting to keep the sisters uneducated. You all just continue to do what you're doing, because there are brothers out here like myself who will stand with you. And so that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I know we are counting on that there are brothers out here. We're counting on that. And what one of the mamas was saying is relevant and accurate, because we as black women, we don't have the time. We're not afforded the luxury of time on our side. We
right.
have to forge those sisterhoods, and we can't wait for the appropriate response. The actions of brothers like yourself is
right.
what will show improve the position that you all land in. So that's it's going to be necessary, because what will happen, and the role, the very functional and active role that you will end up playing and that we need out of you, and please hear me say, we need you. We need you specifically and you theoretically. We need you, because what will happen is, as it has played out every time before, Mama was just saying that more and more sisters will spring up, because now is the time. Divinity
yes.
is on our side. And the more of us, the more voices you hear resounding, as you've heard this day, the more that stirs, the more the emotion of the less than relevant brothers will, their emotions will be stirred, and they will physically want to harm and silence
uh-huh.
the voice, the resurrection of Great Mother. Because
right.
that's what
right.
has occurred before. And so at the time when we see that occurring, it will be necessary to restore. Hear me use the word restore, please. It will be necessary to restore the balance and the greatness of who the true original man ever was. It will
right.
be necessary for you and those like you to act in the physical, spiritual, emotional, and intellectual defense of the reseating and repositioning of Great Mother when it is challenged. Because that's what we ever did. You
yes.
have to function in your role in order to restore her to her role, in order to restore us to our position as to who we are.
Okay. Well, I do have a contact number and an email, and I would definitely be in contact.
All right.
I would definitely be in contact. And you all... I can't say it any clearer. Any brother who wants to understand should be able to listen to this, and the only thing they can do is to say, they're right, I got to get on the ball. That's the only thing I can say. I appreciate all of you sisters.
Thank you.
Can I add to this? Can I add that as black women who do know, it is some simple things that we should be doing to undo and unravel some of the division that has spun around with us and entangled us for so long.
Let's talk about that, because we have 31 minutes remaining in the show, and we do need to get to some solutions to some of the problems that ail us. So let's, you know, angle toward the things that we can do practically.
I would like to say that the first thing I always say when it comes to the solutions list is that I ask every black woman that I ever talk to, especially in a forum like this, that we commit to every day speaking to every black woman we see.
That's
and
right.
And addressing her as sister.
As
because
goddess.
A man in her life has put the idea in her head that you are some kind of way potentially her enemy or a threat to her life or the
mm-hmm.
stability of her household.
Mm-hmm.
But be her sister. Understand and acknowledge her for who she is. You know, even if it's just going into the store, you passing a sister, make it your business out loud. Hey, how you doing, sister? Cross the parking lot if you need to.
That's
she
right.
gonna probably wonder, do I know her? I don't remember her. But just helping her to know that you don't see her as the other or the competition, and that you're not trying to be her competition.
That's
and
right.
And another thing, sisters have been put in a place of competing. And so they believe this whole thing of she going to take your man,
mm-hmm.
take your man. That's not possible. Let's just start right there.
Correct.
It's not possible.
That's
for
correct.
A woman to take your man.
Can't
because
nobody
I can guarantee
take.
You, if he's over there with her, he was never yours.
Correct.
He was parked there. He was just buying time. He was the waiting room. And he was not your man. She didn't take him. He went.
And it's not her man either. He doesn't belong to nobody.
But what she did, but she did do you a favor of showing you a major flaw in him.
Correct.
She did you a major favor. Now you can use that information to improve your filtration system in your next decision.
That's correct.
Now you're better equipped to filter the BS in the next environment you get into. But we have to be mindful that we really can dismantle a whole lot of that nonsense. We can dismantle so much nonsense. We can start taking care of the business end of our life and stop just getting caught up in the emotional end of our lives. We can stop playing into the he likes her more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm full capacity, Tava, when that's me, when I'm at full capacity, Latava, that's what I am, that's who I am, it is not possible to find better than me. It's just
Amen.
Not possible. it's just not possible. I mean, you can go and you can try it out, brother. I don't advise it, but you do you. But I can guarantee you, when I'm full capacity, Latava, I can guarantee you there's nothing going to satisfy me more than the little weeping look in your eye when you recognize, oops, like Britney Spears, you did it again. Yes, you did it again.
You know
what? That's what you have to know in you, when you true you, but not when I'm trying to be the best his extension I can be, not when I'm
right.
trying to be his good woman.
That's
when
right.
I'm being true fulfillment me, he can't go nowhere better. So
but,
I think we definitely we can be sisters to each other, and sisters who do have the knowledge, we have to make it our business not to just communicate on levels like this. We have to be able to maintain communication and develop and create networks. That's what
right.
solidifies our front line. We have to be able to yield and stop thinking because you queen and you this, that you the only queen, the only this. It's not about you. It's so not about me. We have to, and young women, we have to not feel like we've been betrayed by our elder sisters.
That's right.
We have to acknowledge the errors that occurred, but not try to hold every woman that tried to tell us something, hold it against her. We have to allow ourselves, we yield, notice how women, we yield to all the BS of any brother that come along and give it to us good. He ain't even got to give it to us good, truth be told. He just got to promise us to give it to us good. Then we're going to yield to all his nonsense, but an elder sister come in the room, and not only do we not require the brother to get up and give her a seat, we think we shouldn't get up and give her a seat. That's important. It's important because that's how we teach.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing better. I can say to my son, I can say to my husband, get up and let the sister sit down. I shouldn't have to, but I can say that. But you know what's going to really make it stick in his head?
When you
let me catch him slipping. Let me catch him slipping, and he's sitting down with Mama so-and-so coming around. And he's still sitting there to set too long. All I got to do is get up and say, here, Mama, you can have my seat, because I can guarantee you he getting ready to get up and give me his.
Amen.
That's how we fix that. You think that didn't stick in his head? Yes, I can make a note. Don't men forget what you say to them? They do. They forget what you say to them. You told him that last month. He forgot. He forgot that. But
mm-hmm.
I can show him he won't forget that. If I show him, he won't forget it. I can make sure he remembers to come up with that seat next time, because when mother comes in the room, I'm not waiting for the brother to get up. I'm not looking around at all the men in the room to see which one of them get up first. I'm going to get up and say, oh, mother, here, you can have this seat right here. Now, when the teaching comes and another seat ain't immediately vacated, so by the time I do turn around after getting her situated, I don't have a seat, that's when, see, I don't have to let mama see me do this, but you know the look, cut him a look. Like, stop playing. We have to be them women. We have to communicate like that. We have to remain intact. See, I should be able to defend my sister's honor, not sit there and say, oh, they gave me a seat. They didn't give her a seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of petty stuff we do.
Yeah,
oh, I'm
is.
Queen so-and-so. I'm queen mother so-and-so. I'm mother mama so-and-so. I'm this,
mm-hmm.
that, the other. Guess what? I can teach a black woman how to treat an older black woman by showing her.
Thank you.
That's right.
I don't care if she lives in a place the size of a walk-in closet. This mama right here got something she can share with me, and I'm not above sitting at her feet. Excuse me, could you get away so I can sit down, please, and find out? Because don't think I won't pick your brain. You're going to tell me something to get me through this. You don't get off the hook that easy. You haven't lived through what you've lived through, and don't tell me you can't tell me nothing. Wrong answer. Sure you can. Even if it ain't child, get out of my face because you asked 50 million questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I know that any good teacher is a great student.
That's right.
That in order for me to do my job well, I have to be prepared to study. Black women don't want to study. But when we know ourselves, then we can assert our position. And it don't take a bunch of screaming and hollering. When I'm on an environment, when I'm in a situation, when I'm in mixed company, I don't function and carry myself like this. I don't have myself like this. And I'm not being fake. I just know that brothers will never get the luxury and privilege of hearing me go off on my sisters. And there's ways that we can talk when it's just sisters, but I don't speak that way when it's sisters and brothers. Because we have to learn to defend our own honor. We can't expect to, our brothers to speak to us in a certain manner, and they don't witness us doing the same thing.
Correct.
Thank you.
See us behind closed doors talking about, she thinks she da-da-da-da-da, call all kind of names.
Correct.
And they had her get upset if he used that same language. What did you teach him?
Mm-hmm.
What did you teach him? We have to burn our candle on both ends. We are the sacrifice generation.
Mm-hmm.
What we're working for is for those who come behind us.
This is the
generation of sacrifice. I don't expect to sit in the lap of luxury and find myself living the life of paradise. Now, I can live in peace. I can live in harmony. I can create a peaceful environment for myself, but I am at war.
Correct.
Heaven can come for my children, but they mama is at war. They understand they mama will level everything because every time the forest burned down, it didn't do so to destroy. It did so to replenish.
That's right.
To nourish. And we as mother today have to know that is our job. Level it. Tear it down. Bring it all to a screeching halt. Bring it together. Get the sisters right and let it grow up correctly. If I had my way, I'd be on every satellite available telling all the sisters, hear ye, no more country coupons for the next 7 days. No more.
Close
no more
everything.
Coochie coupons for the next 7 days.
Really
and for,
close
and for
everything
the next seven
down.
Days, that's right.
If
and for the next 7 days,
really,
everything on pay-per-view and MTV and BET will be our list of demands. And by day three, life would be so harmonious. They will have discovered every weapon of mass destruction. They will have managed to find enough food to feed all the hungry children. Magically,
oh, yeah.
The vaccine for HIV will have arrived. I mean, life would be so grand.
It would be so grand.
It would. All you have to do is tell every sister, shut it down. No more. The well is dry. And you ain't got to even be mad at him. You ain't got to give him the silent treatment, be just as nice. Oh, hi, sweetie, how are you? Smell good, do your hair every day, look nice. Traipse yourself in and out every day. As a matter of fact, don't let him watch you undress. Let him watch you get dressed. That's it. Get on the agenda. But we have to have an agenda.
Correct.
We have to have an agenda. It doesn't matter that you're
going
to
start
holler.
Speaking about the black woman's agenda, not the black agenda.
Agenda.
But the black,
black woman's
agenda.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be touring next year. My intentions are to try to hit as many cities in the Midwest and East Coast as possible. But I'm now, sister, that's what you're talking about. I'm on board with that, the black woman's agenda. I'm on board with that. So we know that some things, every black woman I see, I speak to and call her my sister. Every little black girl I see, I tell her she's pretty. Oh, I love your
right.
hair, especially that little girl whose hair is all over her head. Oh, I love it when I see her. Oh, I love your hair. It almost looks like mine.
Yes.
I love that. I don't get myself pristine every time I walk out the door just for that purpose. Just for that purpose. Every little black child, every little black boy I see, I make sure he know I'm happy to see him and mean it. I'm happy to see him. Because I'm counting on him.
That's right.
I'm depending on him. When I see black men out doing the smallest, little, slightest little thing, and it's so sad, but they do. Any little thing they doing. Sometimes I just have to figure out something to say to a brother, and I'll just tell him, brother, I appreciate you choosing a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And walk away. I may never see that man again, and he might think that's the most ridiculous thing he's ever heard. Sometimes I have to say, brother, it's really going to be important to her. 10 years down the line, she's going to remember the day she was here with her daddy.
That's right.
Oh, especially when I'm at my little children's dance practice and this and that, and the father's sitting there looking like he's mad because he had to be the one to bring her.
Right.
I just tell him how special that's going to be to her and how I recognize how special that is. And how seeing him with his daughter reminds me of how I spent time with my daddy.
So now that's the mother's spirit there.
That's my job. That's our job as women who know.
And that's exactly.
That's our job.
It is our job. But then again,
but we
got
to do it.
We have got to become one as sisters.
Yes. That's right.
It has got to be that way because, you know, if we're divided, how are we going to all collectively? Because, see, collectively, we are goddess.
That's right.
Indeed.
We are God. You know, sometimes people want to talk about, do you honor the woman on crack? Well, I got to, you know, I answered that question somewhere else on somebody's show. But the thing here is that we have got to understand something. The way things are right now, you have to just look at the way they are. This woman on crack, you know, she has a lot of reasoning for why she's on crack, okay? But at the same point, if that woman on crack wasn't down there with the men on crack, where would the men on crack come to?
Mm-hmm.
They would come up in your house.
Yeah.
See, everything has a purpose. But we have got to begin to honor these sisters. And as you begin to honor people, you know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to. It's like you plant a seed there. Like she said, your hair might look a mess, but you tell her how beautiful she is. And I mean not on platitudes. I mean sincerity.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Because she got a womb like you.
That's right.
And you know if she down there, she done went through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she might have decided to take the crack pipe, but I don't think nobody understands the pain that the black woman is feeling. The whole earth, she's feeling the earth's pain of being raped and how our women are being raped, being mistreated. Now, those of us who are further ahead and understand that, we can't get up to the place that we say, oh, I'm goddess and you ain't.
Right,
bullshit.
Right, that's right.
Because that goddess on crack might be my mama.
That's right.
There you go.
And if it were not for her, I couldn't be here to say and do what I had to do. Sometimes you got to go through hell, like it says about Jesus. He went to hell in 3 days. I asked people, well, what the hell did he do down there?
Mama, can I speak for a moment?
Go on.
It is of vital importance for us to make sure as black women that we stick to this black woman's agenda.
Yes,
we have to
is.
Talk about this. We have to lay it out, what the outline of the black woman's agenda is, what is it, what does it entail, and where we are along that path. Of vital importance. We have to support the sisters. We have to give positive affirmations and tell the sisters, you know, we love them, share that love, all of that. It's of utmost importance that we do that, and it's of utmost importance that the men that are willing to stand up with us against their brothers, that they understand that it's not okay for at the same time while they're pushing up the black woman and putting the black woman on this pedestal, that it's not okay for them to at the same time tell us what to do, how to do it, and when to do it.
Well, you know something, in real reality, this is not about anything about he could do. This is such a serious time, not to disrespect the brother. But the truth of it is, it's about the woman. If he come along, that's fine. If he don't, then too bad for him. Because, see, she is going to survive.
Yes, ma'am.
She is going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And by nature, when women begin to understand, you are it. You are the thing that makes all life. And when she begins to understand that within herself, she's not going to be worried if he's following. Because if he got any sense left in him, he will follow.
His nature
but she
will
can't worry about that. It is her sister she's got to worry about.
Exactly. Yes, that's the point. That is the point I want to make. We need to make sure that we are paying attention to the sisters. Because it's the sisters and the mothers that are the nation along with the children. We have to provide for each other and be that support system for each other.
See, without the,
and my sister's keeper.
Without the black woman, there is no black race,
hmm,
whether
right.
people understand that or not. Without her, there's no. Because, see, the black man can go
in. The nation can't rise higher than his woman.
He will go and inseminate everybody else, but they won't be black.
Hmm.
You must understand that. She's the only thing. And without that black melon in everybody, because, see, even the white people use our genetics to live.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Everything else will die. This is way beyond the black man agreeing or walking or helping. We don't need his help. I'm going to tell you that, and that's the truth. If he wants to help, we will use his help. But if he does not want to help, you cannot worry about that anymore.
That's right.
And this has nothing to do with, I have sons, I birthed them and pushed them through. There is no talk about me not loving them,
because
I wouldn't have pushed them through.
Because,
see, we got the magic that we can make him not come through.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted him to come through because we loved him.
That's right.
And so, see, we got to get our stuff together. We have to have a system set up all over this world for black women, because it's us. And we have to support one another. We have to dig within ourselves and understand why we are jealous of one another, why we are
right.
treating each other the way we are. Then once we get through with that agenda, then you can move on to step two, fostering relationships between the sister of love, cooperation. You know, and then we can see until we get fixed, until we do all the work that we need to do as sisters, we can't even help him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could follow along, but until we get our own things together, then there's nothing we can do for him. Because, see, that's where we are right now. It's at a point that we can't worry whether he walks with us or not.
Mama, briefly, we have 12 minutes remaining, so anyone who wants to hear the end of this broadcast of today's show, please make sure that you call in. The number is 646-716-7675. Again, that number is 646-716-7675. And Sister Lateva, if you could give the information out pertaining to your contact
an awesome
information
book.
And the information in reference to your book and how people can get a hold of your book.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I can be contacted. I share generally my email address pretty openly, and you can reach me at the word sister, spelled out S-I-S-T-E-R, Lateva, L-E-T-A-V-A, at yahoo.com. I always welcome people to contact me directly. My book is available online at lulu.com. You can simply do a search on that site for Kill God, and you should find my book to come up on that search. But you can also special order it at any major bookstore. They don't keep them in stock. I can't figure out yet why. But it is available in bookstores everywhere, but needless to say, they do not get shelf time. And that's okay. As their president would say, the enemy is supposed to hate it. So that's
right.
fine. We just have to make sure we openly discuss and dialogue and support it, and I am definitely committed to the black woman's agenda. I'm definitely
yes.
committed to that. I am I'm committed to that wholeheartedly. So let's roll with that.
Okay. Well, I just want to publicly announce that you know, we've been doing roundtables on the black womaniverse, but I have been committed to school and things of that nature, but I have 2.5 weeks left for school. So after this next 2.5 weeks, we will be doing a show weekly, if not more, because the black woman agenda is so important to what we have to do, that we have to get this information out. We have to set this agenda out, and we've got to do the work. We've got to practically apply what we're talking about to our lives, not just talk about it. We have to be about it. We have to walk it.
Yes, ma'am.
So we will be doing black women's agenda shows in specific, you know, at least once a month, but we also have weekly shows that pertain to the black woman's agenda and everything that we support and put out here for Black Womaniverse. I'm going to open up the Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Since I want to ask you if you could please ask your listeners as well to contact me if they believe that they have an effort going on in their city that they would like for us to make sure we schedule them on our agenda for 2010.
Sure.
Because
sure.
I want to make sure that, I said this to you before, but anywhere there is sisters in particular, but sisters and brothers, if there is any place that there are sisters putting forth the effort to make something happen, I need to be in that space because it warrants all of our effort and all of our commitment. And we can't just talk about it. We have to be about it.
That's
so
right.
If I'm saying I will be there, I will be there. My word is bond. And we have to take that position. So I encourage any of us to reach out and contact me. If you have a city and something going on, we can make some things happen.
All right.
Well, me and you
definitely, you heard the sister. You have her information. You have her email address. You know how to get in contact. I mean, how to purchase her book. So the information is laid out right there. She's going to be touring. Make sure that you get in contact with her. And that's that. I'm going to go ahead and open up the other two phone lines, area code 513. State your name and where you're calling from. And just one brief moment, I'm also going to open up the line for area code 510. Could you both state your name and where you're calling from?
Well, this is 510. This is Amber, our Evolution Muse, in the chat room. I'm calling
from. How you doing?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Make sure you let everyone know about your radio show.
Okay. Well, I was just chatting with Sister Black Womaniverse. I do have a radio show online. It's put it in the chat room. It's blogtalkradio.com/evolutionmuse, and it's called Quantum Female Health, incorporating symbolism, astrology, health, nutrition, holistics, and the mind. And tomorrow I'm going to do a show. I've been deliberating on it for a minute, just in prayer about it, but about the vagina, the uterus, the clitoris, and the third eye connection, and discussing some of the origins of patriarchy and how that has affected us in the past, which I'm still wanting to really get all the information I can on, and how it's affecting us now, both here in the States and East and West Africa, if not more places.
Okay. Sister from the area code 513, can you state your name and where you're calling from?
I'm from 513.
It's not you, it's another caller. I guess they're just listening. 513? Okay, they're probably just listening. Okay, did you have any comments or any questions in reference to the topic that we were discussing today?
Well, I do have two questions, actually. I typed them in the chat room. One was, I'm still trying to get clear as to the making or the cultivating of white people within Africa and how that happened. And two, second question. Well, that's the first one. We'll start there.
That's an important question.
Very much so.
Because then you can move forward to understanding really how we are the way we are today, if you understand that question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. That we don't have enough people who are really saying, well, why the black man, why the white man, why are they here? How did they come about? How did we get to the point that we are today? And we don't really get in the conscious community a clear-cut answer. And, you know, women, you just tell her the truth, and that's the issue, truth.
Right.
Tell her the truth, and then she can figure it out. She'll make a solution. But then when you give these illusions of truth, then you get twisted,
yes.
You know. And it's basically we knew about the technology. We are the ones who invented the technology of cloning. And we understood so much more than you can imagine. And everything that's being played out today is basically a rehash of what was already there.
Hmm.
And so we knew about cloning, and they make it seem as though, whoa, cloning's a new thing. We just discovered that. But see, we have been doing that a long time. And a person that studies mythology, because, see, we've been trained in school to believe, oh, that's just a story or a fairy tale or this or that, could be more of the truth than you understand, you know. We have got to really get back to start studying what words are and why they were made up, because the woman made the language for the man. And so we've got to get back to understanding, like she was mentioning a book earlier. It's an edition that's probably way back, but what we don't understand, when you get revised editions, you're really being dumbed down.
Yeah,
little by little.
Someone else's translation of
yeah.
what was in the
Well, book. What they do with revised editions, like if you made a book in 1930 and you made one in 2009, what the 1930 edition told more of the truth. But
mm-hmm.
as people began to get more educated to understand etymology and linguistics and
mm-hmm.
occult science and astrology and things of that nature, they begin to take out vital points. You know,
yeah.
it's even in the Bible that, you know, we have a lot of confusion on in our communities. But everything is there. The ideal of a mystery is to put it in plain view. If you put it in plain view, people want to see it. Ain't that amazing?
Right.
But it's right there in front of you. You're watching it on TV. You're even speaking it, and you don't even realize you're a part of it.
Yes.
But that's how that program runs.
So are you saying that that humans were cloned far back, and that's how white people were created?
Correct.
Wow.
It's something that I want to bring up that I have been looking into, and I'm pretty sure the elders, the sisters and the mothers on the line may have heard of this before. What, if anything, has anyone heard about the Doma, the Daughters of Ma?
Huh.
Has anyone ever heard about that?
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not either.
I'm not.
What is your
When everyone gets a chance, you know, a little free time on their hands, you know, key it in Google, the Daughters of Ma, and see what information you can pull up on that. A good friend of mine pretty much told me what I'm telling you now, and I went and pulled up some information, and it speaks to exactly what we're speaking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm Googling, and I see some things coming up. I'll definitely have to read this. I see something about the way.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Type
I'm,
that
I'm gonna
in
look into
the chat.
Yes, ma'am. I'll type this page in right now.
I'm gonna tell you another thing about it. If we begin to sincerely reach down inside, because that's where I got my answers. I ain't read it in a book. I just know it. I've known it for a long
time.
That's
right.
It's inside of me. It came with me when I came here.
It's called spiritual DNA.
I was 2 years old.
The Akashic record.
It's spiritual
yeah.
DNA.
I was
yes,
2 years old. I knew, and I'm close to 60 now. And the thing here is I've been trying to figure this stuff out and asking, you know, questions about this, but not getting, you know, just getting a brick wall. And basically what it took was me to go through some serious things and go into a deep somewhere else, not on this
yes,
planet,
ma'am.
To get the truth.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Because, see, that is the truth. We made them. I mean, you got to even give back further to ask, why did we make man?
Hmm. Oh, my. Now we are going. That I'm telling you. It will be those types of agendas that will pull us out of this. I mean, Mama Flowers, that's just the reality.
That's
that
the reality.
Reality. We got to ask the tough questions to get to the real truth.
It's,
we got to ask the questions we don't want to ask. That's right.
Truly, truly deep inside of us. Every woman has it, but we haven't learned how to activate it. And some of this trauma and stress that some the I say that there are people like Diva Mama Tanya, different elders in the village. These are forerunners.
Mm-hmm.
So they came here directly with a mission, and they just know. They didn't read it in the book.
That's right.
They just know.
Right.
It resounded in them. Even the time that you spend in, see, the Mother Goddess is so all-powerful that even in their Christian religious outview,
mm-hmm.
she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
And see, you don't ask and you don't receive.
Thank you.
Yes.
But this the answer to what it is in us. If nothing gets here by without you, then how is everything else getting here?
You know, when I listened to another show, just speaking on, you know, formulating the agenda and for the sisters coming up behind the Trailblazers, when you say this information was already in you, that you didn't go further outside but deeper inside into the very cellular structure to learn about this. It's been a couple of shows on these networks just to display how powerful this is. It's like a little plutonian atomic bomb in my spirit. But I said I listen to a couple, especially Lady Phoenix. She does another Goddess Roundtable.
That's
sure you've been there. Okay. And it's something that the last one she did was The Plight of the Empath.
Yes.
And I feel
like
you heard that one about how
we've had Lady Phoenix here before. That's one of the sisters that almost always come and participate with our roundtable. That's a very powerful sister.
She is, yes, very much so. She is here in spirit then, and we honor her presence, but I just felt the need to bring her up because I feel like some of what is happening, and especially for the show I'm going to do tomorrow, it is, we've been afraid to go into that information, and I heard some things, you know, a long time ago about how women inventing communication, the resonation of that information is already within us all the time, and it clicked like a light bulb to say, okay, well, let me unlock and download this information. How else do I recall my history, which is only being presented to me in the form of lies, but to dig deep within and pull it up?
That's right.
So, you know,
you
I think in
it,
setting...
When you talk about it, they want you to provide a book and a piece of paper. That's not how women have had to learn.
Right.
No.
And
not
it won't
at all.
Be, and it won't be how we're going to get the right solution to it either.
Right.
What it's going to be is women getting together on their menstrual periods at the same time. That's what it's going
to
be. A male can't do this thing.
Thank you. In addition to that, we spoke on another show where we were doing a fundraiser for the African Family Depot. We were raising funds for children. It was four children down in Alabama who are in a very bad situation, and we were doing an online fundraiser to raise funds for them as a part of the African Family Depot. So if anyone wants to check out the Order of Ma'at Blog Talk Radio Show and pull up the last show we did, it's called Who Really Cares About Black Children and Foster Care. That's another topic that we need to talk about that is and always will be a part of the black woman's agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
See,
those are our children.
The worst thing they ever did to us is make us believe that motherhood, and that's what they did somewhere in the 60s and the 50s, was obsolete.
Yes,
and you brought in all these foster, and I used to do daycare for 30-some-odd years, and I told them women every morning, you come in, they want to come in with agendas to tell me how to raise. I said, wait a minute. You're supposed to be doing this, not me. I'm just helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we have got to take that back. Motherhood is the most, if not the most, important thing on the face of this earth. There is nothing
Jesus
above
Christ.
It. Nothing.
Before we, Before we go any further, I want to be respectful of Sister Latava's time because we've had her for about 2 hours. I don't want to hold her hostage.
I do want to give my greetings and respect to each of the sisters on the line and the brothers on the line and let you all know I have thoroughly enjoyed my time with you. I have commitment with my responsibilities here, but no, I will go back and listen to the rest of this program if it's still recording. Is that the case?
It is still recording, yes, ma'am.
Okay, I will listen to the remainder of the program. I hope you all will keep building and build with the spirit and mind of knowing whatever agenda you all have set forth, you know, that solidifies the sisterhood, I'm there. I'm just going to have to catch up with it, but I'll have it. So I will be listening at a later time, probably later tonight. You all keep building and be productive in your evenings.
Thank you, beautiful sister.
All right.
Peace and love.
Peace and blessings, sister.
Peace, sister.
All right. Well,
I wanted to just comment about what you just said, how the universe works in a very clear way. Yesterday I went to yoga class, and, you know, I have a little issue with the yoga class because I'm in Berkeley, and it's predominantly white folks. And there's just a different resonation. Anyway, I'm in the locker room with these two white ladies, older white ladies, and they were asking me if I had children. And they were talking about children and how, oh, it makes your life miserable once you have them. And, you know, I don't think we should have any more children, to be honest with you, et cetera, et cetera. Then she mentioned, you know, how old are you? I said, I'm 27. She said, oh, well, you know, at 37, I couldn't even. It was too late for me. It just shut down. And what I felt, the vibe I felt was just like you said, like a transmission of the hatred and denial of that role, of that position, and how it rubbed me the wrong way. Just a simple little conversation, little exchange after working, you know, the body. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I just depended on my uterus to get through that hour and a half of stretching. That's where I focus all of my energy. And you sitting here telling, you know, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. But then I said, oh, that's your truth. Your truth is something is going on with the reproductive capacity of you and your ancestors and your descendants. Something is going on with the separation of your feminine body from your uterus. Okay. That's your truth. It does not have to be mine. But even acknowledging that I had to make that distinction and almost set like a waterfall wave over my whole being to protect that information from downloading into my being, it was crucial. So just to have you hear you say this and hear you speak upon this again is wonderful.
The woman's black womb is the most important thing, and when you have white women, and that's another thing why this time is so very important, because what has happened is that they're taking the knowledge of the black woman, the black goddess, and basically they're speaking on it as though it's their knowledge, and they have many divisions within the white woman. Because, I mean, you got those to say, oh, it's horrible to have kids. It's this to have kids. Well, I mean, the only people really having kids is black women. So now who is that focused at? And you were right to put the water around you. Because it was focused at you. Because they're the ones on the other end of the spectrum who's going using all the technology to get inseminated and have babies. Because they can't have babies. So, I mean, that would be something that would be said. Yeah. You know, we have got to get together, and then in time, because the white woman has truly been an element of the black man. I mean, they have all the programming that's on is telling him he needs her. Well, they want that programming to be that way because, yes, the white race lives off the black male's genetics. He goes in there and infuses them, and that keeps them alive. And so it's important to tell you, okay, you don't need this, because see, they are trying. I mean, it's a lot of betrayal in this situation that we're in. The black man betrayed the black woman, and he made allegiance and made the white person, and then he went and had sex with the white woman because she was more docile, more controlling, you know, where he can control her. And then somehow it backfired on him, and now he's fighting the white woman, but he ain't fighting her. He's basically copulating with her.
Wow.
So it's a lot of stuff that needs to be spoke on, but the one true thing that needs to be done is the black women coming together on their menstrual periods in at all walks of life. And we really need to listen to the DNA within us, the God in us.
In addition to us coming together during our sacred time, we also need to come together and do some other spiritual things, things that don't take a lot of time and don't cost anything, such as what you just suggested. The one in specific that I'm speaking about is meditation.
Correct.
If we all, as black women, decided that every day at a certain time, no matter what time zone you're in, if I'm in the East Coast and we agree on 7 p.m., then the people in the Central will do it at 6, the people in the next time zone will do it at 5, and the people in the next time zone will do it at 4. But the point is, all of us would be combining our spiritual, our physical, our mental, and our wombs together to concentrate on the effort of bringing the black women's agenda to the forefront and pulling that down.
Sure.
That's it.
That is it, and that's going to be the only thing that's going to make it work, because until we are synchronized, you know, that everything is focused at keeping her apart. I mean, we're the only ones on the earth not together, because all of their efforts are focused on keeping her divided. But there's something happening now in this generation that no matter what goes on, it won't stop. Because right now, she's a mother, and if she doesn't do what she needs to do right now, all the earth will disappear.
Thank you.
So this is a very important time, you know, and we hear a lot of things, but some of this stuff, we have to learn how to pick and choose the battles that we fight. There are some that are not worth fighting. And that's the problem. We're fighting the wrong battles instead of really dealing with the battle. If you deal with the battle, the main battle, then you'll knock all the little battles out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got to go. We can't just pick. We don't have the time or the luxury anymore to pick and just go. You know, we have to be honest. We have to be honest and raw about what the truth is, and we have to stick with that. And then we have to deal with our own insecurities, you know, our fears, and address those fears and conquer them, as only the black woman can do together. But we have truly, truly have got to come together. We have got to come together in a great way. You know, we have got to stop allowing the white woman to be the authority on goddess that's coming out.
One sister said, and I have to give this sister credit where credit is due, Mommy Sarud, she made a statement that was so profound and so accurate. A lot of people don't like us to read or make comments as though we shouldn't read any books that are printed by white women or pay any attention to anything they say because they're white. And while on one hand, we don't really need books to get any information, because it's in us, it's in our DNA, we are that.
That's
we
right.
are the mystery system as black
That's
women.
That's right.
Okay, but at the same time, the white woman took a part in our necks being trampled on by white men and black men.
That's right.
So it is their job to bring Dark Goddess back to where she's supposed to be and let us finish it off. That's their
right.
job.
Oh, that's true. I mean, she has to, because she's got to the point. What I'm trying to say is it is her job, but her job is now becoming a different place. Now it's time for the black woman to step up.
Exactly.
Because through the black woman, she'll get her wretched, I mean, because she's suffering too. She really is. Because, see, the system of patriarchy is not for any woman.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she is the cause, some of the cause. I mean, she was made to basically be our enemy. So, I mean, she has a right. I mean, she, in so many ways, her speaking out on things of concerning Goddess and the way things were and worked is basically her giving it back to us. She's acknowledging, okay, Dark Goddess. But then when she says that, then that means that you, the Dark Goddess.
Dark Goddess has to step up.
Has to step up and say, I'm the Dark Goddess.
I'm the Dark
Goddess. Okay, so everybody waiting on me.
Thank you for introducing me, and now I'm here. I got it from here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at right now. So
And Mommy Sarut is excellent
oh, yeah.
teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
And you
I
do.
I have been so blessed to have these women come into my life. I'm trying to. I don't know if y'all understand me.
Yeah, we do.
Pastor Flowers, Mommy Saru, Diva Mama Tanya, Lady Phoenix. Oh, Lady Phoenix. I can't even say enough about her. You know, wow. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. You know, people, anyone who's listening to this show, please go back and listen to the previous shows that we've had. I mean, we've had a number of shows ranging from topics of mate selection to, you know, the role of the black woman in evolution and revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there was a very powerful show. I just hope people go back and listen to that. Now, we're going to go ahead and say our last few words and so we can end this show. And we'll be right back at y'all in 2 weeks. Hopefully I'll be out of school then. I tell you, school getting on my nerves. But we'll be back in 2 weeks. And when we come back in 2 weeks, I have a very powerful sister coming on. The sister's name is Nubia Wardford. She is a black African-centered anthropologist. Mm. And she's coming on with some very pertinent information. She's going to talk about Neith, the black goddess as creator. And not a lot of us talk about Neith.
Yep. Because she's the creator of it all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. She is also going to talk a little bit about her going back over to Nubia in Meroe to start a new archaeological dig and how she wants black women to come with her and put their hands in that soil and, you know, take part in history.
Huh.
So can't wait to have her on. That's going to be October 11th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, October 11th at 2 p.m. Eastern. So let's go ahead and give out our closing statements, any contact information, email addresses, anything. And I'm going to go ahead and play some Jill Scott so we can cruise on out of here.
Well, peace to all the goddesses on the line. Thank you so much for letting those throats flow and letting the information come through. I am grateful. I am eternally grateful to be present as always and to make the links and the connections that I've been praying and meditating for. And thank you for all ancestors, all guides, all master spirits, master teachers who have aligned this meeting today.
Thank you.
Ashe.
Mama Flowers.
Oh, I'm just the mother.
That's
all I am.
Mama, that's, you got anything else to say?
I'm just the mother fighting for mothers. That's all I am. And that is the greatest thing there is to be.
Indeed.
I have I guess at a Ning site, Ebony Women of the I can't even speak today.
Ebony Women of Diaspora or Diaspora.
Ning.com. That's why you have young daughters and stuff. Speak for you.
Please visit Ebony Women of the Diaspora.Ning.com as well as that is one of our sister sites. When I say our sister sites, I'm referring to the Black Womaniverse. The Ning site for the Black Womaniverse is Black womenshealth.ning.com. You know, come on over. The sisters, we need to network. We need to build, you know, on this black women's agenda. That is our goal. That is our mission. It is time for the black divine feminine woman, creatrix, mother, nurturer, healer. You know, that's just some of our, you know, some of the things we do. You could never mention all the things we do, but that's just some.
Really?
You know,
I am. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
All right. We're going to go ahead and cruise out of here with some Jill Scott. And peace and blessings, family.
Awesome show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey.